Well, at the end of Ramadan, President Mohammed bin Zayed cleared or forgave more than 150 million dirhams worth of student fee debt for students at government schools. Last year, he cleared almost 400 million dirhams worth of debt for UAE citizens who had taken out loans. What do we learn from this? Well, we learned the president's kindness to some of those who are struggling with debt here in this country. But we also learn that debt is very common in the UAE. Debt is a big problem for many people. And one recent study found that more than 30% of UAE residents are in credit card debt. And that statistic does not include the many other people who have taken out other types of loans from banks or perhaps even just from their friends. And it's not just the UAE either. Nearly 25% of those in the United States and in India are in credit card debt as well. In fact, roughly 1 in 5 consumers worldwide have some amount of credit card debt. Debt is widespread. Now, the fact is that borrowing and lending, credit cards, loans, these are all a big part of our modern economy. Now, church, you do not need to raise your hands, but let me just ask you, well, how many of you have a credit card? How many of you have been offered a bank loan since coming to the UAE? How many of you have perhaps taken out a loan from a friend? How many of you are in debt yourselves? On the other side, well, how many of you have been asked to provide a loan for a friend? Or how many of you have in fact lent money to someone else? What does the Bible have to say about all of this? Does the Bible have anything to say about all of this? Well, as you might have guessed, the answer is yes. The Bible has quite a lot to say about borrowing money and quite a lot to say about lending money. And that's what we're going to focus on in the sermon this morning. Now, last week we looked at a biblical perspective on money. This week, we're shifting our focus to our use of money. So at least two uses of our money, our borrowing money and our lending of money. So last week acted as something of the foundation for what we're going to look at this week. So if you weren't here last week, the sermon's on the website. You're welcome to go back and listen to that. Now, borrowing and lending is not all that the Bible has to say about our use of money. It speaks to giving. It speaks to saving and other topics. But the reason I'm going to focus on borrowing and lending this morning is because, as we have seen, it's an issue that touches many here in the UAE. And in fact, it touches many across the world. I also think that most of us are probably a lot more familiar with what the Bible might have to say about an issue like giving than we are about what the Bible might have to say about borrowing and lending. So with that being said, I have just two simple points to today's message. What does the Bible say about borrowing? Second, what does the Bible say about lending? Now, we're going to look at several different verses during this sermon, and you should be able to find those verses in your bulletin. If Patrick is really quick, you may be able to find them on the screen. You can say a prayer for Patrick. It's his first week doing slides, and I've given him like 30 verses that he's going to have to try to keep up with. He's going to have to go home and ice his finger later. So, with that being said, what does the Bible say about borrowing? I just want to give you two short biblical principles when it comes to borrowing money. These two will be the subpoints of this first point. So we have a point, two subpoints underneath. Those two principles about borrowing are: one, pay what you owe; two, be cautious. Pay what you owe and be cautious. So that first principle for borrowing money is pay what you owe. It's a very simple principle. The Bible is very clear about it. We just read this verse, Psalm 37:21. The wicked person borrows and does not repay, but the righteous one is gracious and giving. Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another. Beloved, when you borrow money, you are making a commitment. You are making a promise, a pledge, a vow to pay what you owe, whether that is to a friend or a bank or a credit card company. And therefore it is wrong, it would be sinful to not repay. It is a form of lying or deceit, even if unintentionally so. You are making a commitment or a pledge. So Christian, if you take out a bank loan here in the UAE, it would be sinful to flee the country to avoid paying what you owe. The same is true of your credit card debt. If you leave here while you still owe money, that would be a fine thing to do, but you should continue to pay from your home country or for whatever country you end up moving to next. Now, look, we live in a world of unexpected things, and there may be times that you are unexpectedly unable to repay a friend or a relative or someone else that you may have borrowed money from. We understand in our world that sometimes those things happen. What should you do in those cases? Well, in those cases, you should earnestly seek forgiveness and grace from the one who lent you money. And you should seek to pay what you owe when you are able. Even if it was later than when you first said that you would repay, you should still seek to work to repay what you owe. But this is one of the reasons that you should be cautious about borrowing money in the first place. You should only borrow money if it is very likely that you can, in fact, repay. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5. Better that you do not vow than that you vow and not fulfill it. Well, church, God is a God of truth. He does not lie. That's why we can trust him. He is unchanging. And the scripture says that God hates lying. Well, therefore, as Christians, we are called to be men and women of our word. So we should pay what we owe. That's the first principle of borrowing money. Pay what you owe. The second, be cautious. Now, the Bible does not condemn borrowing money, but it does provide a lot of warnings about borrowing money. The Bible teaches that you should be cautious when it comes to taking on debt because debt produces danger. So Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Now there is both a practical danger and a spiritual danger when it comes to borrowing money. Now, on the practical side, you can probably think of some of the things. If you take out a bank loan here in the UAE, the bank will most likely take payment from your salary directly, whether or not you can really afford it. So if you have an emergency that comes up or another financial need, well, too bad. You still need to pay. If you take out a loan here and you're not able to repay, you may receive a travel ban and may be unable to return to your home country. You may forfeit your gratuity. Your life, or at least your finances, come under control of another. There's a great spiritual danger as well. Let me read Proverbs 22:7 again. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Now, when you owe money to another, there is a sense in which your life comes under their control. Well, this means that there is a danger that the lender begins to direct your life rather than the Lord. So remember Matthew 6:24 that we looked at last week? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But friends, if you owe a big debt to someone else, if you're in a great deal of debt, if you owe a big debt to someone else, and you're having trouble repaying particularly, well, there is a danger that money and considerations about money will begin to control your decisions and your actions. The borrower is a slave to the lender. There's a danger that you'll do just about anything to get out of debt or to continue to make your payments. You may foolishly take out more loans trying to pay off that first loan that you took out. You may be willing to lie, cheat, or steal in order to satisfy your lender. You may be willing to do something unethical to keep whatever job you have because you know you've got to make that next payment. So your first concern is no longer what is pleasing to the Lord, but how can I pay my debt? How can I please my lender? Perhaps you find a job that pays better, but would force you to work on Sundays and miss church each week. Well, if you're in big debt, you will feel like you have to take that job, no matter how destructive it might be for your walk with the Lord. The Lord commands that we not forsake the regular assembling of ourselves together for corporate worship. But the danger of debt is that the borrower becomes a slave to the lender instead of a slave to the Lord. Now again, I want to be clear. The Bible does not say that it is sinful to borrow money. It is not necessarily wrong to go into debt. But there are different categories of borrowing or different reasons for borrowing money. The first, we might say, is out of need. People borrow money out of need. Sometimes you have no choice but to borrow money because you're in desperate need. You have to eat. You have to pay your rent. I would still urge you to exercise caution in those regards. But the Bible certainly does not condemn those who are in need from borrowing what they need. But there's a second category of borrowing, not out of need, but maybe we would call it optional borrowing. You have a choice. Should you borrow money to start a business? Should you take out a loan to buy a piece of property back in your home country? Should you spend money just because you have a credit card? Should you take out a personal loan to help your child pay for university? Well, brothers and sisters, in these optional cases particularly, you should exercise caution before taking out a loan. Friends, in a place like the UAE, you can almost always find a bank or someone to lend you money. You can almost always find someone who is going to be willing to give you a credit card. That does not mean you should take it. The bottom line is that you should exercise caution before borrowing money, whether out of need, but especially if it is for something that you have a choice in. But how can you exercise caution before borrowing money? How might you evaluate it? How might you walk through this decision and decide, is this a wise thing for me to do, or might this be a foolish thing for me to do? Well, let me offer you a few pieces of biblical wisdom for you to think through before you might borrow money or to help you make a decision about borrowing money. The first piece of biblical wisdom is this. If you are in need, bring your need to the church. Brothers and sisters, there is a reason that we collect a monthly benevolence offering and have a benevolence fund at the church. We want to be able to help those who are in genuine need. The Lord commands us, as we saw in Deuteronomy 15, to try to help those who are in need, and we want to be able to do that as a church, so we collect a benevolence offering. We have a benevolence fund. Church, please do not let your pride keep you from sharing your need with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That the church is the family of God. It is your family. And God says it is more blessed to give than to receive, so let your fellow brothers and sisters have the blessing of helping you if you are able. The Lord says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So in your pride, don't deny your brothers and sisters the opportunity to be blessed in helping you meet your need. Now, the church may not be able to meet every need or completely meet your need, but we want to be able to help when we are able. And perhaps that help will prevent you from going into debt. Don't try to solve your problems alone. Bring your need to the church. So second piece of biblical wisdom, seek counsel before borrowing money. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, without guidance, a people will fall. But with many counselors, there is deliverance or safety. So friends, ask a wise brother or sister in Christ if it is a good idea to borrow money before you borrow money. Make sure you understand the terms or conditions of your credit card or your bank loan before you take those things out. If you need help in understanding those things, if you've never had a bank loan or a credit card, you're free to come ask me. You could go to Mark Barnes, our deacon of finance, another wise brother and sister in Christ to help you. But the biblical principle would be to seek counsel before making a big decision like that. A third, do not presume on the Lord. Do not presume on the Lord. So James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Friends, do not presume that your job will last forever or that you will certainly get a raise. If you think I'll take out a big loan because my contract is certain to be renewed or I'm certain to get a raise next year, well, are you not presuming upon the Lord? Friends, do not presume that you know what the future holds. Do not presume upon the Lord. If it would require a raise for you to be able to continue to make payments, it would probably be foolish for you to take out that loan. Do not presume upon the Lord. Fourth, be content with what the Lord has provided. One of the biggest reasons that people go into debt, it's not the only reason. If you're in debt, I'm not saying this is why, but one of the biggest reasons people go into debt, especially credit card debt, is because they want to live a life that they cannot afford. They want to live a life that they might see others living and that they envy. They get a credit card and all of a sudden they're able to spend a large amount of money. At least for a time, they can do what they want to do. They can eat what they want to eat and they can buy what they want to buy. But eventually, that bill comes due. So one of the best ways to avoid debt is to be content with what the Lord has provided. That's what we thought about so much last week, that we as God's people are to be content because everything we have comes from His hands. One of the best ways to avoid debt is to live within your means, to live a life of contentment with whatever the Lord has provided you. Brothers and sisters, a love of money is not the only reason for debt, but it easily leads to debt. So fifth piece of biblical wisdom, save for the future. Save for the future. Another very common reason for debt is that people do not plan for the future or plan for the unexpected. They do not save. And so when an unexpected expense comes up, maybe a car repair or an operation that they weren't anticipating needing, well, they have to borrow money because they do not have anything saved. And now that they have a need, they are forced to borrow money. That means one of the best ways to avoid debt is to save a little bit of money each month. If you are able, it is wise to build up what many people call an emergency fund, something that will be there when the unexpected expenses come up so that then you can use it to meet a need. In other words, save a little bit each month until you save up 500 dirhams or 1,000 dirhams or more that sits there and you can use when an unexpected expense comes up. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Precious treasure and oil are in the dwelling of a wise person, but a fool consumes them. In other words, the wise saves what is needed for the future. That precious treasure, the oil they need to eat, they save what is needed for the future. But the fool simply spends their entire monthly salary without thought for the future. If they make 2,000 dirhams each month, they will spend it. If they get a raise to 4,000 dirhams the next month, they will find a way to spend that as well. Now, friends, I know many of you do not make very much money. Perhaps you truly cannot set aside anything each month to save for the future. But I would strongly encourage you to try, even if it's just a little. Try saving 10 dirhams each month as soon as you get your salary. Maybe 20 dirhams. Maybe 50 dirhams, maybe 100 dirhams. Just keep setting that aside each month so that you might have something when unexpected expenses come. Well, the truth is, sometimes people find themselves in need due to no fault of their own. They just find themselves in need due to no fault of their own. That is certainly true. But sometimes it is their own foolishness and lack of planning that puts them in need. So brothers and sisters, save for the future. Church, I do want to speak for a moment to those of you who are here and are currently in debt. Maybe you are in debt due to no fault of your own. Maybe you're facing a significant need. Or maybe you're in debt in a wise way, that you have plenty of money to save. You have plenty of money to pay. But maybe you're in debt because you're in big need. Maybe it was no fault of your own. If that is you, let me just encourage you not to carry that burden of debt alone. First, take it to the Lord. Ask for His help. Let me encourage you to share it with another brother and sister in Christ if this is something that is weighing you down, causing you stress and anxiety. If you're worried about how you will pay it, let other brothers and sisters help you carry that burden. Let them encourage you and pray with you and walk with you. And maybe even offer wisdom for ways that you may be able to find yourself get out of this situation. On the other hand, maybe you're in debt or in need because of your own foolish and sinful choices. Maybe you have not been wise or cautious. Maybe you are struggling to repay what you owe or have not been able to repay what you owe. If that is you, well, I want you to hear clearly that God is a God of mercy and grace. Now, you may have to live with some of the earthly consequences of your debt or your failure to repay. Things like broken relationships, travel bans, high interest payments. But you do not have to carry the burden of guilt. You can take your sin to the Lord. The Lord is eager and willing to erase your debt of sin, to forgive you and to remember your sin no more. That's what we've been singing about, that Jesus has paid it all. He has taken our debt. The God of the Bible is a God of compassion. He does not treat us thankfully like our sins deserve, but He is abundant in kindness and compassion and love. And because our God is like that, brothers and sisters, we want to be a church like that. Look, everyone here is a sinner. We all act foolishly in one way or another. So if you're struggling under a burden of debt, even one that's brought on by your own foolishness, let me encourage you to share your struggles and to seek help. Brothers and sisters, if someone shares that need with you, we want to be ministers of God's grace and His compassion and His kindness to others. Two principles of borrowing. Pay what you owe. You should seek to pay what you owe. You should be cautious before taking on debt because there is a danger to debt. But now we want to look at the other side of the equation. What does the Bible have to say about lending? Again, I want to give you three biblical principles to consider before lending money to someone else. Three biblical principles about lending. So these are the three subpoints of this second point. The first principle is give or lend generously. The second, do not exploit those who are in need. And the third, expect nothing in return. So first, give or lend generously. The first thing I want you to see, church, is from the Bible's perspective, lending is a subset or a category of generosity. Lending is a type of generosity. So Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. If there is a poor person among you, one of your brothers within any of your city gates in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Instead, you are to open your hand to him and freely loan him enough for whatever need he has. We just read those verses a moment ago. New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, obviously, Christians can be generous to those who are in need by simply giving them what they need as a gift. We might say even that that should be the Christian's first option. But Christians could also be generous by lending to those in need. And there are often good reasons to lend or loan something or loan money instead of just giving it. Well, for instance, if someone wants to borrow your car for a few days, it probably makes far more sense to loan them your car if they need a vehicle than it would be to give them your car as a gift. Well, the bottom line, though, is that the Bible treats lending as a form of generosity, as a form of giving. And the Bible calls us as Christians to lend generously to those in need, especially or particularly to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, not everyone who ever asks you for something is truly in need. They may also have other options for meeting their need. You need to exercise wisdom before lending. Sometimes lending to people can do more harm than good. If someone continues to make foolish financial decisions over and over again because people keep bailing them out of their foolish decisions with money, well, perhaps by continuing to give, we're actually making the problem worse. You need to exercise wisdom. However, the Bible calls us to have a heart of generosity towards one another. That should be our default setting. As a Christian, we should have hearts of generosity towards one another. That should be our default setting as Christians. And brothers and sisters, it's one of the ways that we reflect the image of God who freely gave his Son for us. And it's one of the ways that we imitate our Savior, Jesus Christ, who freely gave his life for us. And so we are to lend or to give generously. Well, second, do not exploit. We should not exploit those who are in need. Now listen to these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 19 through 20. Do not charge your brother interest on silver, food, or anything that can earn interest. You may charge a foreigner interest, but you must not charge your brother Israelite interest, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you are entering to possess. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 8. A righteous man does not lend at interest or for profit, but keeps his hand from injustice and carries out true justice between men. Well, why did God forbid the Israelites from charging interest to their fellow Israelites? That's because it would have been to take advantage of those who were in need. Now, in the modern world, loans are given to many different types of people, both rich people and poor people, for all different kinds of reasons. People may take out loans or be given loans to start businesses, to buy property, to purchase a car, and just the list goes on and on. But that was not the case in the ancient world. That's not how loans worked. Loans during that time were almost exclusively given to those who were desperately poor or desperately needy. So this is how author J. Richards puts it in his book, Money, Greed, and God. This is what he writes. By modern standards, almost everyone in the ancient world was extremely poor. Only the rich, a tiny minority, had any money to lend. Any money lending then would involve rich people lending to their poor neighbors, probably their relatives, for a basic need like food. People hid extra money. So while a person might be entitled to have his money returned to him, it seemed uncharitable to charge a poor person for temporarily using money that would otherwise just be collecting dust. And charging huge interest rates that could not be repaid would add insult to injury, since it would exploit a person's bad fortune and ignorance. Well, we see this reality expressed in Exodus chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. Exodus 22, 25 through 27. If you lend silver to my people, to the poor person among you, you must not be like a creditor to him. You must not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as collateral, return it to him before sunset. For it is his only covering. It is the clothing for his body. What will he sleep in? And if he cries out to me, I will listen, because I am gracious. Well, church, the Bible forbid the Israelites from charging interest to their fellow Israelites, because to do so was to exploit someone who was in need. It was to take advantage of the misfortune or the need of someone else for personal gain. Now, you could understand easily how something like this would work. If someone needs money to eat or pay their rent, they're going to agree to almost any terms to get what they need. Like, sure, I'll pay 20% interest. I'll pay 50% interest if that means that I can eat. It would be so easy to take advantage of someone in this situation. But to take advantage of the needy or to exploit someone else's need is a grave sin in the eyes of the Lord. And yet, church, the truth is that there are many unethical and even illegal moneylenders here in the UAE who do just that. Do whatever you can to stay away from those people. Be cautious. You can find many people who will be willing to lend you money here at exorbitant interest rates and take advantage of your need. Stay away from them if you are able. Be cautious. Brothers and sisters, to exploit the desperate need of someone else for your own personal gain is detestable in the eyes of the Lord. You see your fellow brother and sister in need, your first thought is to be, how can I help? Not how can I profit? After all, hasn't the Lord considered us in our need? He has not treated us as our sins deserved, but sent his own Son to rescue and redeem us from our spiritual poverty. Therefore, we read in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does this mean that the Bible condemns charging interest in every situation? And what about credit cards? What about bank loans? The answer is no, I do not believe that the Bible condemns charging interest in every situation. After all, we saw in Deuteronomy 23 that it was okay for the Israelites to charge a foreigner interest. But friends, the truth is that not all loans are created equal. We understand there is a difference between loaning money to a friend so they can eat and investing money with a friend so that they can help start a business, or loaning money to a friend so that they can start a business. In our modern world, banks and others provide loans for a wide variety of purposes, like starting a business. These are not loans to people who are in desperate need. And historically, the church has taught that it is permissible, it is okay to charge a reasonable amount of interest in those cases. And now, friends, it is true that some banks and some credit card companies do exploit those who are poor and are not financially wise. Some prey on those who are financially ignorant, and they offer loans and credit cards to those they know will struggle to repay. Some do charge excessive and unreasonable interest. So be careful. Be cautious. Exercise wisdom. Seek counsel from a trusted brother and sister in Christ before going to those people or taking out a loan or a credit card. But again, the biblical principle when it comes to loaning money is do not exploit those in desperate need. Do not exploit the misfortune of someone else for your own personal profit. Instead, you should seek to give or to lend generously to those who are in need as you are able. So, third principle for biblical lending, expect nothing in return. Expect nothing in return. Listen to these words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6, verses 30 through 36. Luke 6, 30 through 36. Give to everyone who asks you. And from someone who takes your things, do not ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. But let me repeat verses 34 and 35. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Well, those are some challenging verses. Now, I think it's true that Jesus is speaking of loans to the poor, not business investments, but still, those are some challenging verses. Jesus is teaching that you should treat your loans to others as a gift. Now, it is certainly not wrong to loan money and ask to be repaid, but at the end of the day, you should not demand repayment. You should think of your loan as a gift, or at least a potential gift when you give it. It means you should not grow bitter and angry if someone does not repay you. You should not gossip about them. You should not send threatening WhatsApp messages to those who have not repaid something that you lent to them. And in a survey conducted a few years ago by a large bank in the United States, those surveyed, 75% of those surveyed, said that they would end a friendship if one of their friends owed them just $500, around 2,000 dirhams. And 40% of those surveyed said that they would end a friendship over just 400 dirhams. Well, church, it should not be so among us. Should people repay you? Definitely. If someone fails to repay you, have they sinned against you? Yes. But you are responsible for your attitude whether or not they repay you. What does Jesus say? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But love even your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Brothers and sisters, that means that you should be willing to be wronged. That applies to a whole host of things in our life, not just money, but when it comes to money, you should be willing to be wronged. You should be willing to erase a debt if someone is struggling to repay. Are you truly loving someone else if you only treat them well when they do exactly as you would like? Are you truly loving someone else if you can only treat them well when they have fully repaid you, whether that's repaying your kindness or repaying your money? Have you grasped the enormity of Jesus's forgiveness of you if you cannot forgive those who owe you a debt? Church, I think the answer to those questions is no. It may take time to forgive. It may take time to love as you should. It may not happen immediately. But consider these verses. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. This comes from the Lord's Prayer when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. The point is that if you don't forgive, you have not grasped Jesus's forgiveness. Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43, and then also verse 47. This is a parable that Jesus was telling to a Pharisee. A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. And the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon, the Pharisee, answered, I suppose the one he forgave more. You have judged correctly, Jesus told him. The one who is forgiven little loves little. Christian, the truth is that you have been forgiven much. If you are a Christian, you have been forgiven much. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He, God, erased the certificate of debt, our debt of sin. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has paid your debt of sin with his life. Knowing full well that there was nothing that you could ever do to repay him. His grace has been given to you as a gift. His blood has been spilled on your behalf as a gift. You have not earned it. Beloved, can you not then therefore treat your earthly loans as a gift? After all, it is not your own money that you lent in the first place. It is the Lord's. A church, thinking of your loan as a gift should also influence the amount you loan. Now, if you were to loan to someone expecting nothing in return, you should generally not lend people more money than you can afford to lose. So listen to these verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 15. If someone puts up security for a stranger, he will suffer for it. But the one who hates such agreements is protected. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 18. One without sense enters an agreement and puts up security for his friend. Now, to put up security for another is to guarantee a loan for another. Sometimes people call it co-signing on a loan, to say that you're going to stand in someone else's place. If my friend does not pay, I will pay in her place. That was what it means to put up security. Now, it is simply another form of lending, because you are promising to lend or provide the money for your friend if she is unable to repay. Or you might say it's another form of borrowing, because it is as if you borrowed the money yourself. So Proverbs 22, verses 26 through 27 provides this warning. Proverbs 22, verses 26 through 27. Do not be one of those who enter agreements, who put up security for loans. If you have nothing with which to pay, even your bed will be taken from under you. Now, friends, Proverbs does not provide an absolute prohibition against putting up security for another. But the principle is clear. It is usually foolish to provide security for another if you are unable to pay what that person owes. It is foolish, therefore, to loan an amount that you cannot afford to lose. So pretend for a moment that your monthly rent payment for your accommodation is 1,000 dirhams. You're paying 1,000 dirhams a month for your accommodation's rent. And you have 1,500 dirhams saved up that month to pay for your expenses. That means you have enough to pay for your rent with 500 dirhams left over for other expenses. Now pretend a friend or a family member came to you and asked for you to loan them 1,000 dirhams, but they promise to pay you back before your rent is due at the end of the month. They'll pay you back the day before your rent is due. Well, beloved, it would probably be foolish of you to loan them the full 1,000 dirhams, because you cannot afford to lose that amount. If they fail to repay, you would not be able to pay your monthly rent. You're going to get in all sorts of trouble. Now, might there be times to make an exception? Yes. Proverbs are not absolute commands, but principles for wise living. General principles for honoring the Lord that we have to apply in the various different situations that we face in life. But church, if you're to treat your loans as gifts, you should generally only loan an amount that you can afford to lose. So be wise. Well, this principle of lending without expecting repayment really goes back to our heart attitudes towards our money and towards others. It's what we thought about so much last week. But if we're to expect nothing in return, this really points to our heart attitudes toward our money and towards others. We're called to give generously to meet the needs of others. Well, why? It's because God has given freely to us. He has given us our possessions. Everything that we have comes from His hands. But more importantly, He has given us His Son. God has not exploited us in our desperate need, but He has had compassion on us, considering that we are dust. He has not treated us as our sins deserve, but given us as His grace. He's given us His grace as a gift. It is not something that we have to earn or that we have to repay. And since this is how the Lord has treated us, this is how we are to treat one another. Beloved, I hope you have noticed at least two things in this sermon. First, I hope you've noticed your need for wisdom. Now, I've given you some biblical principles for borrowing and lending, some of what the Bible teaches about borrowing and lending. But you need wisdom from above on how to apply these principles to your daily life, to the situations that you will face. So seek after wisdom. Read through the book of Proverbs. Seek counsel from others. And pray that God would grant you wisdom to honor him with your finances. The second thing that I hope you've noticed in this sermon is what the body of Christ is to look like in action. What a church is to look like in action. It looks like people sharing their needs and other people meeting their needs. It looks like people trying to honor their word and keep their commitments, but others extending grace and forgiveness when that does not happen. It looks like the poor and the rich and the borrower and the lender considering the interests of each other above their own. Brothers and sisters, that's what it looks like to love one another. That's what it looks like to love God more than money. And this is a kind of love that the world does not understand. It is countercultural wherever you are from. But this is the kind of love that displays the glories of the gospel and the glories of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, may this type of love mark our life together here at Emmanuel. Let's pray.